Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. And you can join the show. Number 603-283-6160. We're kicking off the third hour. And we have time for you if you want to join us. Again, 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Aria, and Mark joining you tonight. You can join us online, of course, at freetalklive.com, where we have many features, and they are free for you. I do want to say big thanks to the decentralized organization over at Dash. Dash is a cryptocurrency that is focused on actually being useful, on actually being spendable in the marketplace. And they have accomplished that task, and they continue to focus on that with their decentralized autonomous organization. The world's first, by the way, nowadays in crypto, decentralized autonomous organizations, or DAOs, are everywhere. They're very popular. There's, I don't know, a dime a dozen. They're very, very successful. Some of them haven't worked out. But the Dash one was the first one on the planet, and it's working great. In fact, the way it works is, every time the blocks are mined onto the blockchain, which, as we explained earlier, the blockchain is the decentralized ledger that is the list of all transactions that have ever occurred since the very beginning of Dash. When those blocks are mined, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury, basically. And then the Dash masternodes can vote on how to spend that money. Essentially, anybody who has one Dash, which right now is worth around $40, one Dash, you put up a proposal that can do virtually anything. So you put the proposal forward, the masternodes vet those proposals. They're going to ask some questions. They might ask some really sharp questions. And then they will vote on those proposals by the end of the month. And if enough people, enough masternodes vote in favor of it, it passes. And then that could do all kinds of different things for Dash, like doing advertising, developing new features and things like that. So Dash did it first with their decentralized autonomous organization, and they did a great job with it. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies, by the way. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And again, thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org and learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. Let's go. She's here now. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Now, Sarah, we know you're not a listener of Free Talk Live. You are exclusively a caller to the show, which makes you kind of an unusual character. And I don't want this to sound like we're just going to be a matchmaking company for our listeners, because I think that would be pretty boring. But I think Sarah's a special case.
Oh, and she's special.
Yes, she's very special. She calls every night on the show. You're breathing a little heavily there, Sarah, into the phone.
You're all worked up.
And there have been two gentlemen. I just want to let you know there have been two gentlemen suitors who have called the show tonight, potential suitors for you, that have called the show. One of them is Ricky in Pennsylvania. He's a man in his 50s. He is partially blind, but also a very regular caller. Also,
you don't have to do makeup.
Also, also a nightly caller, pretty much every night. So that's something you guys have in common. And
he's also put together a date package, which includes a bus ride to Pennsylvania.
That's right. Yep, he's willing to buy you the bus ticket up to PA to come see him. He said he's willing to get a hotel room, you know, if it goes that far.
With two beds.
Yep, and pick you up, you know, in a cab of some sort to take you to presumably some kind of a restaurant. So, any thoughts?
I'm really quite flattered.
But well, we're not done yet, sir.
Did I miss something?
Well, there's Bobby from Florida.
Oh, Bobby from Florida. But yeah, I mean, Ricky called first, so I wanted to put that one out there.
But Bobby has wanted her longer.
That's what he says.
To be fair.
But we don't know how
these guys are arguing about you, Sarah. I mean,
I'm already with somebody, Connor. I'm already living with somebody. I'm not interested in looking for anybody else.
Well, good news then, because Bobby, to satisfy Bobby, you don't have to get involved. All you have to do is make an OnlyFans and sell him pictures of your feet.
I'm not involved with my life, and I'm not going to go trouble on the bus or running around.
But you don't have to do that, sir. All you have to do is like send this guy some pictures of your feet every once in a while, and he'll give you money.
The money rolls in.
It's okay.
Then she'd have to report that to the government. If she makes too much money, then she loses the welfare.
I don't have to be worried about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I got things I got to worry about.
She would have to figure out how to create an email account before she could get an OnlyFans. So, I mean, it's probably a too high of a mountain to climb there.
Bobby could create the OnlyFans for
you. Apparently, you've got a couple.
You just have to supply it with content.
Mm.
Well, I'm more angry about this. How about this?
We don't care about that.
They're going to weaken the power of our mayor in Albuquerque. For what reason?
This bothers you?
What?
She just blew off Ricky and Bobby. I mean, without even a dismissal.
Because she wants to blow the mayor.
Apparently, yeah.
Well,
that's what turns her on. Power.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
No, they want to. So they want to, for every... A ballot measure, I mean, no, every decision-making, the mayor is going to be part of the councilors. So it's going to make them 10.
And this bothers you?
It makes it into a tie, and they're not talking about a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a tiebreaker. It's going to be exactly 5 and another 5 that opposes it. It's going to be just gridlock.
So you're
gridlock.
Saying the mayor...
No, Sarah, how often does your city council actually gridlock? It can't be very common.
Well, I mean, it goes really, it's only 9, so I don't think they can't gridlock.
Okay.
It'll come down
well, they could, gridlock if one of the counselors
sure.
is absent.
How often are they roughly evenly split on a thing? Because I know how city councils work. It's usually like 4-1 or 9-1 or 8-1 or 7-2 or whatever.
In Keene, the mayor is a tie-breaking vote, so that's the way it works here in Keene, New Hampshire, where if the council, which is normally 15, but there's usually one or two that aren't there just because people don't show up sometimes. So sometimes it can be a tie vote because of that, and the mayor would then cast the tie-breaking vote. So what is the power of the mayor right now, Sarah, and what are they proposing to do that would disempower the mayor?
Well, he just wants to show him up for like ribbon cutting, and he has to be he's going to become like one of the counselors.
So you're saying he has no vote right now? But he would be given a vote if this proposal passes?
Right. Like,
that's not giving him less power. That's giving him more power,
right.
Sarah.
Well, all he can do is just vote her right now. But if it makes it to his desk, he could veto or pass it.
He can still do that.
Oh, he has a veto? He has veto ability?
Right. That's correct. Right now, he's an executive.
He would lose that ability in this proposal?
That's correct.
I see.
And then what gets me mad is I am so baffled, I am so confused, and they're going to stick this to the Albuquerque voters. This is completely...
Oh, and you don't like the voters amazing. Because they voted to get rid of the red light cameras.
No, the voters, what voters? What little people that we do show up to vote, we're so confused. I'm confused. I have no idea what
Tell
they're
me about it.
Wanting us to vote for.
Sarah, take everything you just said and please explain to me why I should be happy that you vote.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So why are they going to make all these complicated, people don't understand what pros and cons about anything, and they're going to dump this onto the voters?
Well, usually, as you pointed out, Sarah, in a municipal election, it is actually the most, I would say, the most with it voters that show up, because the average Joe Blow that's just like, I want to vote for Trump or Biden, and then that's the only reason they show up at an election.
I honestly think I felt a blood vessel burst in my head with Sarah's inability to answer the question.
Well, anyway, the people that vote in a municipal election, it's a very small number. It's usually like 10% or less. And these are the people that pay attention for the most part. These are actually the most informed voters. These are the people who are aware of who the candidates are in many cases.
But it's really relative, I think. And I think Ray for Sheriff showed that the
I'm talking about municipal elections.
Well, this was
a countywide.
So what Ari is saying is that the voters are essentially the winner of the gold medal at the Special Olympics.
Yeah, more or less. I think the well-informed, well-connected voters that we saw, especially like during the primary campaign as well, they're ignorant. I mean, they may be slightly better informed than the average voter, but it's very, very slight.
Okay. So you're right. Maybe they pay with local elections, so they make the local laws, so people pay more attention to what the local councilors and what they're doing in their city. Yes. And that's why they made the mayor's election so important, because he had the executive power. Mm-hmm. He could veto. And so people showed up. They show up in mass numbers to vote in the mayor, because it's very critical.
Ignorant, right? Confused people who don't know left from right showed up to vote, right?
Well, that's the whole thing.
Right. Is that correct?
They're up to something. What I'm saying, they're deceptive. The people that are trying to pass this.
How can she know how stupid the average voter is and then be like, this is a good thing? I don't understand, Sarah.
Wait, she's not saying this is a good thing.
You choose, you vote for it against it.
Voting in general being a good
thing. What?
So, Sarah, so I take it you're going to vote against this proposed change, right?
Well, you know something? I think I'm gonna keep it the way it is. There was a reason why we had this strong mayor in the first place in 1974. It was set up.
How would you guys vote on this if you had this proposal to essentially strip the mayor of his veto or signing powers or whatever, and make him essentially into the city councilor that runs the meetings? What do you guys think about that?
I think that this is yes, absolutely. Let's move that deck chair over here on this sinking ship. This is my opinion on the subject is that that I've lived in towns with strong mayors and I've lived in towns with weak mayors, and they're all corrupt.
Sure. Yeah.
I think in theory I like the idea of someone in government being able to say, no, you can't do this, right? That's a good idea. That's what the Supreme Court was supposed to be and all this. In theory, that's a wonderful thing. And as an anarchist, I would be for that if there was going to be a government at all. But I've seen this in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the veto power is more or less just a rubber stamp of government authority. So in theory, I would rather the mayor maintain that veto power, because if the mayor can say no, then in theory they're more likely to say no, and that's more likely to inhibit the government trying to do things that it wants to do. But in practice, the mayor is part of the government. He's going to authorize the government to do whatever it is they want to do, and he's not going to use that veto power for good. He's going to use it for his own benefit, so the benefit of his crony pals. So in theory, I'm for it, but in practice, I don't care, and I'm with Mark.
I think Mark makes the most salient point on this. Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. Thanks for bringing that up. Sorry to Ricky and Bobby. She's not interested, guys.
But I mean, the veto power for the president, that's a good thing, right? For the president to say, no, Congress, I don't
want... If they use it, but they don't hardly ever use it.
Right. I'm saying
that's your
theory.
Point. Yeah. But, and this is something that I've actually been rolling over in my mind to some extent, because I like the idea of decentralization, right? The idea of let's take power out of the hands of the few and decentralize it to more. And the proposal I think that I was considering was, well, if we could do it, which you won't be able to do it, but if we could do it, would we want to get rid of the New Hampshire Senate and become what they call a unicameral, single legislative body?
Like Nebraska.
Nebraska has this, right? What is the value of the New Hampshire Senate? It's 24 people as compared to 400 in the New Hampshire House of Representatives. There's no doubt that the House of Representatives is closer to the people, meaning that each so-called representative so-called represents roughly 3,000 to 3,500 people. And I don't know what 1.4 million divided by 24 is, but it's much larger than 3,000, right? They're not as connected to the people they supposedly serve. But at the same time, so like from that sort of fundamental premise, I would sort of support getting rid of them. But at the same time, I've seen them block some bad bills that have come out of the House. And like I was glad that they blocked those bad bills. So, for instance, marijuana legalization, which would have had taxes and regulations attached to it. They blocked it for the wrong reasons, because they're just drug warriors, and that's the reason they blocked it.
Right.
But they did block it, and I'm glad that they did that.
Yeah,
so,
I understand exactly where you're coming from. Like the New Hampshire House or something recently passed some anti-trans bill or something. I don't remember the details about it, but Sununu vetoed it. or was going to veto it. I don't remember all of the specifics, as I said. And I was like, you know, you people have put me in a position here where I'm grateful for Sununu.
Yeah.
And that frustrates me. But I like that the system has that potential where someone can do the right thing for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like being right on accident. I would rather them be right for the right reasons. But if they're going to do the right thing, I don't really care what their reason is for doing it.
Yeah, I take results every single time. My opinion on this subject is that it doesn't matter to me whether the SWAT team wears tan, dark blue, or black when they kick my door in and run two Bearcats into the house. What I care about is stopping that from happening. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter to me what happens to the New Hampshire Senate. New Hampshire happens to be the freest state in the union, not because of many of the reasons that are purported here on Free Talk Live, but largely because of one reason. And that reason is that it, in fact, has a tricameral house. That it is, that with the, when you count the executive council, there are three levels of bodies of legislators. Now, the executive council can't initiate a legislation, but it can certainly stop most legislation, any that has a financial aspect to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So this is the reason that New Hampshire is the freest state in the union, is because it is so gosh darned difficult to get legislation through and to undo legislation once it has gotten through.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go through the three levels and then the governor and that whole thing. So I say keep it.
Okay.
But
all right,
here's what my solution is, and I've said it many times in the air, and I'm going to say it again because, well, somebody might be listening that could actually make a difference. The solution in New Hampshire is a constitutional amendment, and that constitutional amendment is that all laws must pass with a two-thirds majority. Now, I'm fine with it being 60% or 75% or whatever number, but you pick a number. I like 66. Two-thirds majority through both the House and the Senate and the Executive Council, too. Heck, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that good politicians, presumably good people that we've all picked, all agree that this is a good law to have. Do we really want the law that squeaks through by 51% in both of these houses and then squeaks through the executive council?
Mm-hmm.
Is that really the law we're looking for?
Well,
now,
we
this,
don't.
Hold on.
But
this amendment would drive a stake through partisan politics' heart.
Yeah, that's
it would
proposal.
Kill the Democrat-Republican yickety-yak that goes back and forth. And finally, our politicians would have to serve us, the people, rather than anything else. And then, as an addition to this, all laws that are undone ought to be undone by a simple majority.
Mm-hmm.
And what this may do, and I'm not promising this, I promise the driving the stake through the heart of the partisan politics, but it may turn the legislature into a body that cleans up the law so that we don't have no marionettes actors in Manchester, no baseball games in Keene on a Sunday, no adding, you can't put a wrapper into a milk carton. I mean, literally, these are all illegal things in the state of New Hampshire. And,
right.
Well, sorry, maybe we can change it into this as a body that undoes these things. I wish that was the case.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good proposal. I think maybe if we're going to add anything, it should be that a sunset provision to where these laws have to be, you know, reinitiated over time.
I like that. Every law should expire.
Yeah.
Every legislative session
I
might be a bit much.
That's a lot of work, right?
Every 10 years.
Yeah, every 10 years at least, sure.
Yeah, they'll just go and do all the laws at once. When they do that, they'll just say, all the bodies of laws are back in play. And
then I would say they make it where they have to do it individually.
Individually, based on when they're passed.
I'm happy with murder laws being set out and just, being, this is illegal. Well, what, they don't work to do what?
No law works to prevent any sort of act that is designed to prohibit. If someone wants
I don't
to
commit, know that that's true.
Well, it's definitively true. If someone wants to commit murder, it's not the fact that it's illegal that's going to stop them. It's the fact that, they don't have a sense of morality. Let me rephrase that.
You don't have,
the reason that
you
people,
can't test this.
Mark, I let you rant. Let me ask you the damn question. The reason that people commit murder is because their own internal sense of morality has broken down and they're psychopaths or sociopaths and they want to inflict harm on others. It's not because, the government made it legal, so it's okay for me to kill people. No. Once their internal sense of morality breaks down, the law isn't going to stop them. If it did, murder would never happen. But murder does happen, even though it's illegal. So what good is this law doing?
There are currently places in the world where you can murder people, and the legal apparatus will fail to come after you. The likelihood is very high. And murders in those places tend to be more numerous. So I would say that laws against murder are effective in diminishing murders. Now, I don't think you'll ever get rid of murders, but you can certainly diminish them. You want to look to Iceland. This is a place that basically doesn't have murder and has a murder law. So I'm going to go ahead and say murder law is good.
I mean, by that exact argument, drug laws are good. Prostitution laws are good. All of these other things that prohibit things that some people find undesirable are therefore good.
I don't know that drug laws, I don't know that drugs are done more often in places with drug laws or less often. In fact,
well,
I would go ahead
just point
and say
to one or two places and say, well, that's fine, because you're not going to find any places where murder is like not illegal anyway. So that we're not going to find a good analogy.
You can't find whether it's illegal, but you can find a place that doesn't have an effective policing organization.
Yeah, but that's very different, because that sort of thing breeds corruption and hostility and, you know, that sort of thing.
U.S. police aren't particularly effective on solving murders, by the way. I mean, it's like 50% at best.
Yeah, it's like 50%. There are places where 90% of murders.
My point, Mark, is that your position that, you know, murder laws are good is a faith-based position that has no rational evidence to support it.
Oh, I've offered some evidence.
No,
you're right.
No,
I don't have a place where there are no murder laws.
Right. So you're
but,
speculating.
Well, actually, I can say this. I can say that.
Based on places where laws are badly enforced because there's a lot of corruption and bad funding and a lot of
Kim
poverty.
Kim Jong-un is the man who can murder whomever he wishes.
It's not murder when the government does it.
And he can kill whomever he wishes, and he can expect no charges every time. And he's murdered many.
He's a psychopath.
Equally, the Queen of England was a person who could murder anyone and killed no one. So I don't know how that's true.
There's been a ton of people that the police in the UK have killed.
Wasn't she queen during like a ton of colonialization?
She had she never used her executive power.
Isn't the world still dealing with, her colonialization, especially in Southeast Asia?
I think Mark is saying that she herself never ordered someone's death directly, but she certainly presided over one of the most murderous governments in human history.
Well, Charles Manson never took anyone's life, right?
Right. She didn't stop the murders. Let's just say
but if
that.
If Charles Manson ordered the murder, then Charles Manson's responsible. If the Queen of England only didn't pull the lever to stop the murders, then by libertarian philosophy,
you
she is
not. Don't think the Queen didn't order murders?
If she has the executive power and she doesn't stop people that are under her underlings from doing killings, she's absolutely responsible for that. There's more coming up here in moments. The number 603-283-6160. If you want to join the show, you can do that. We'll get back to the chief thug of the SEC here in moments.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well,
you see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News Update. Widespread flooding in the southern part of the Ukraine war zone is raising questions, particular about the future water supply for Europe's largest nuclear power plant, just miles from the front line.
We've been closely monitoring the impacts of that destruction, which has triggered massive flooding in Ukraine and resulted in the evacuation of, at the very least, thousands.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says explosions destroyed a dam in Russian-controlled southern Ukraine. Attorneys for former President Trump are trying to stop writer E. Jean Carroll from suing him a second time. She filed a second lawsuit after Trump appeared on CNN's town hall, where he called her a whack job and denied her rape allegation. According to Trump's lawyers, there was no second defamation because the jury that heard Carroll's civil suit found him liable for sexual abuse and not rape. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We got time for you if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You know what? We haven't talked about the alien craft story, and I know, Aria, that's something that you've mentioned that you wanted to discuss. And that's an interesting one. I have not actually looked into it, but apparently there's somebody saying that the U.S. military's got some downed alien craft that they've been looking at over some amount of time, and maybe we'll learn more about that. The number here is 603-283-6160. By the way, I want to give kudos, I think, to Tucker Carlson for striking out on his own after Fox News fired him.
Other than the transphobic part, it was pretty good.
Yeah, this 10-minute video, which I have not quite completed, but I've gone through about 8 minutes of it, came out 3 hours ago, and it was before the last half hour of the show, so at the beginning of 9 o'clock, I told you, Aria, that it had 16-something million views. Now, that doesn't
That's
mean...
That's unreal for that a number of views, though.
That doesn't mean they watched the whole thing, right? That's just the number of people who saw this scroll by on their feed, right?
Is that what that means?
Yeah, I think that's what it means.
It counts on autoplay as a view?
Because the video doesn't show, like, you know, sometimes on Twitter it'll show you the number of actual plays the video has. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the view count on the tweet itself.
Okay.
The video
itself. Still, 16 million is phenomenal.
Yeah. It's now 19.7, a half an hour later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, cable news, as we've been reporting for the last several years, has been on a decline. Cable itself is on a decline. People are doing what they call cord cutting and have been.
And radio and broadcast television.
Sure, and newspapers especially.
Well, they couldn't have done anything to make Tucker Carlson more successful than fire him and allow him to strike off on his own and come off to America as the voice of reason standing against the media leviathan, right?
Right, and essentially...
favor.
Doing it without having to get into another contract with
yes.
anyone, supposedly.
So now he can say, look, I'm free to say whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to me on Twitter.
Yep,
and give me that money directly.
And he's talking about this dam destruction that I hadn't really even known anything about. I just kind of heard rumblings about some dam getting blown up, and was it Ukraine or was it Russia? Yet another one of these controversies. And so he kind of makes some points about that, suggesting.
So
that
last time there was a controversy like this, it was the United States.
Yeah, the suggestion this time is that it was actually Ukraine who did it. But anyway, that's one of the things he covers, and then also this alien craft story. So good for him for getting out from under the big media thumb. Again, he's not a libertarian per se, but he does have he's always had people on his show that have been contrary to the standard popular opinion, whether it be Jimmy Dore, who's the socialist guy that turned or that was against the COVID mandates and such. He's a comedian. He's actually pretty funny. And or other people. So good for him. Let's go to the phones here. I got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, the dam you're referring to is a evidently one of the biggest rivers up there, and it's the border between the two of them. You got the Ukrainian army on one side and the Russian army on the other.
Okay.
Now, the dam itself was a hydroelectric plant. So one would have to say, why would they blow up their own hydroelectric plant? And upriver, there's a nuclear plant, nuclear power plant. And
just to clarify, this is a Russian controlled plant. This is a Russian area where this attack went on.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm talking about the Ukrainian power plants. It was a Ukrainian power plant on that dam. And
they were Russian.
Sure. No, it's under Russian control, as I understand it.
Well, okay,
Ukraine under Russian control.
Well, the Russians consider it to be Russia.
Before the war started, or was this? Are you talking about
before the war? It would have been in Ukraine. Now, if you believe the Russians, the people of this area voted to join Russia. They voted to secede from Ukraine and join Russia. Ukraine, of course, in the Western media and the United States government said that was an illegal election or an illegal
vote. Of course, yeah, we got to believe Russia. They've never hijacked an election. But,
I don't know who to believe, but I know I don't believe the American media.
I don't believe
sure.
any of them. Yeah. And, you know, that's a beautiful place to be in, where I don't have to choose one of these people to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I can say I don't have any reason to trust either one of you, and I don't have a dog in this fight in the first place. So I'm not even going to put my neck out there and saying that the Russians are right or the Ukrainians are right. They're all evil. They're all liars. And I see no reason to believe any of them about anything.
They're both pointing their fingers at one another. According to RT.com, their story is Moscow is claiming the facility was damaged by a Ukrainian strike and Kyiv is placing the blame on Russia. So, of course, it's, you know, he did it. He did it. She did it. Whatever.
Well, same old story. Same old story.
Yeah.
But as far as the Sarah thing you had going on earlier, you guys really could have confused her if you just told her Ricky Bobby wanted to date her. She just thought it was Will Ferrell and gone nuts. He could have rode the bus up wearing his elf suit and whatnot. It would have been hilarious.
She's never seen Talladega Nights.
Yeah, I don't think she's particularly culturally aware. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but
that is a good movie, though.
I've never seen it. I wouldn't have gotten the reference.
They show Elf every Christmas.
Yeah.
Right, Ricky Bobby, race car movie, they've shown that for, 30 years now? I mean, the guy's almost famous. He's got the ugliest body in Hollywood.
He is ugly. There's no doubt about that. Thank you, Major, for the call tonight.
Couple quickies on Joe Biden.
What now?
Who's that?
Couple quickies on Joe Biden.
All right, give us a quickie.
Okay, so he was doing the commencement speech at Annapolis, and after handing out the last diploma, he purportedly slipped over a sandbag, which they wouldn't have had a sandbag on the stage with Joe Biden. But anyway, he did a face plant, and they got him up. And I was listening to the applause, and they handed out the last diploma. The applause was pretty good. But when Joe Biden hit his face, you should have heard the hoots and howls, and just the momentum went up tenfold.
That's horrible.
Their fearless leader flat on his face. I wish I could have been there.
Wow. All right. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Major. I appreciate it. Yeah,
it's sad what they're doing to the senile old man.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to be too sad about
trading him around.
Yeah,
I mean, if it were like any other senile old man who weren't a like war criminal and a murderer,
okay,
then,
that's true.
You know, I would see where you were coming from. But Joe Biden is an arch drug warrior from his younger days. He is a scumbag extraordinaire, and he deserves everything that that comes to him.
It's also pretty clear that if they would have, let's presume for a second that Joe Biden isn't really sentient. I don't know whether I believe that at all. But if he wasn't sentient, if you had asked him back when he was sentient, hey, if you kind of lose your mind, can we make you president and do all kinds of democratic policies in your name and, whatever? He'd have said yes.
I mean, fair. Yeah. Good point.
Do you want to talk about Gary Gensler, or do you want to do the alien story?
It doesn't matter to me. Yeah, I can do either.
We said we were going to do the Gensler thing, so let's see if we can get that one out there. It's not very detailed. It's just what he has to say. This is the chairman of the SEC.
He's saying the quiet part out loud here, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not supposed to be like, guys, screw all these cryptocurrencies. All you need is the dollar. Like, that's supposed to secretly motivate him, like we've been pointing out for the last year
and
a half.
Right. He's supposed to be saying the things that he usually says, which is like, hey, you guys can exist. Just come in and talk to us, which is what he's been saying. But now,
the U.S. doesn't need any more digital currency, said Gary Gensler, as we pointed out. His agency sues Binance and Coinbase for operating unregistered securities exchanges. In an interview with CNBC, today, Gensler denied claims his approach was muddying the legal position around crypto. He has said this before. And also suggested that there were parallels between his case against Binance and the criminal case against FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. Or Freed, whatever. We don't need more digital currency. We already have digital currency. It's called the U.S. dollar, Gensler said. We have not seen over the centuries that economies and the public need more than one way to move value. So
we don't need choices. All you people advocating for options in the market of money, you're crazy.
And he wants the one way that the public has to move value to be the government's currency. Like, he could not be laying bare their plans, their goals, their evil intentions, more.
Right. My proposition, I think similar to Free Talk Live's, would be that the SEC, the United States government, the FBI, and you just rattle off the alphabet soup agency out there, are all basically just tools of a banking elite that proposes to run the world and extract as much, and in the process of doing that, extract as much value as possible.
Yep.
And this guy has basically said, I am a stooge for these people, and I will do what it takes to make sure that my bosses, my betters, my superiors are taken care of.
Yep, that was exactly it. He will seek to prove that the thousands of tokens tradable on two of the biggest crypto venues resemble investment contracts that should have been registered with his agency rather than mere means of payment. So he's also suggesting
the United States people are unable to make a decision for themselves to buy and sell cryptocurrency. They are too ignorant and should not be able to do this.
All we have to show is that one of them is a security and they should be properly registered, he said. And that's, they do have thousands of cryptocurrencies and whatever on Coinbase and Binance. And for the SEC to win this case, they only have to be able to show that one of those things qualifies as a security. Because if they're selling even one security without being registered, then they're running afoul of, the SEC's regulations. But that's where the issue really is, and that's one of the points that Coinbase is making. And again, not a fan of Coinbase, they're the devil, but they're fighting the devil here, so it's like you don't have to pick a side, but like if the devil's going to fight the devil, I want the one that's least evil to win, and that would happen to be Coinbase in this particular example. And they pointed out that the SEC has not provided clarity or regulation.
So. This is interesting, Aria. Now, in the last, I think it was earlier in this segment, might have been the last segment, you said that it's an enviable position for you to be in regarding Russia and Ukraine to not have to pick a side. And
I said I don't have to pick which side was telling the truth.
Okay.
I would also pick Ukraine to win the war because this is a war where Russia invaded. As far as I can tell, if I had to pick a side to win, I would still say, well, I would prefer Ukraine to win over Russia.
Russia invaded purportedly because Ukraine was bombing the people of the Donbass region, and they invaded purportedly to protect those people.
And I don't deny
from
that.
Being attacked. So, I mean, that is not per se an invasion if it was indeed done for those reasons.
Right, but there's also the fact that I think in the grand scheme of things, and I know Mark agrees with this, and I don't know how true it really is, but I would say that the U.S. government is a little bit less evil than the Chinese government. And if I had to pick one of these two entities to live under, I would pick the U.S. government. In the same way with Ukraine and Russia. I would say that Ukrainian government is probably a little bit less evil than the Russian government. If I had to pick one to live under, again, I would probably choose the Ukrainian government. And that's all I mean when I say between Coinbase and the government, I would rather Coinbase win this fight. Well, yes, because they're a little bit less evil than the U.S. government. But how less evil? I don't know.
Part. I agree that Coinbase is the one that I would pick in this. I don't know that I can pick a side between Russia and Ukraine because I just don't have enough information.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that, you know, if I was told, Mark, you must pick right now between these two guys that are fighting. It's Stalin
and
Hitler.
That's pretty much what you just threw at me.
I understand that. And I'm just pointing out that you can't always know.
Yeah, sure. But Gensler goes on to say there's been clarity for years about the nature of securities laws, brushing off concerns that crypto firms have been left facing uncertain enforcement. These intermediaries need to come into compliance. But they won't say what the compliance requires because they specifically said that they won't say that because if they do, people will know how to get around compliance.
Look, we'll know it when we see it.
Yeah, it's completely crazy that he's like, you know, you need to come into compliance, but we won't tell you that because if we do, we'll tell you how to stay out of compliance.
Where's your story from?
This is CoinDesk.
The one over at blockworks.co has the full quote that I think CoinDesk truncated. The one about, quote, look, we don't need more digital currency.
Oh, yeah.
We already have digital currency. It's called the U.S. dollar. And then he continues. He says, it's called the euro. It's called the yen. They're all digital right now. We already have digital investments, he said.
Wow. He's right.
I want to point out that these are not investments. Okay, these are currencies. They are foreign currencies, all manipulated by central banks, the yen, the euro, you fill in whatever central bank currency there. These are all being printed. All of them are being inflated. So whether the U.S. dollar is quote-unquote stronger than the euro or the euro is stronger than the pound or whatever it is, right, these are just inflated currencies that are trading against one another, and they're all being inflated. So really the question is, which ones are being inflated worse than the others, and what's the market going to do with that? Trading those things, that's just day trading, okay? That's not the same thing as an investment into, say, a company, where the value of that company could go up or down over time, right? This is just, you're just playing, you're gambling, right? Like if you're buying dollars and then buying euros with those and then turning them around to buy yen, that's just straight up gambling.
Yep.
It's not an investment.
Mark, I thought of another way to explain it too. My statement about Russia and Ukraine and not knowing who was telling the truth, that's basically me saying I don't have to pick between these two things. Well, then when I said that about Coinbase or in the American government, I said, well, if I did have to pick. So I'm basically, that was the difference. And one of those, I said, I don't have to pick, but if I did have to pick, I would choose Coinbase. That was the difference. So there wasn't really a disparity between them. It was just different scenarios. So they're going to, I scrolled up a lot because that quote really lays bare, again, everything. He lays out a bunch of digital currencies, and he's right. The euro, the USD, the yen, these are all largely digital currencies now. They're also all government currencies.
Mm-hmm.
So why does he think we do need some competition where we need the yen and the euro and the USD or whatever, but we don't need alternatives like Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or
Dash? Well, we know why. Because they being the central banks of the world and their buddies, aren't in control of those.
That's exactly it.
Well, let's not also forget that he didn't mention in that list that I heard just now any of the opposing side, right? Like you could buy yuan or rubles or any variety of currencies that he doesn't doesn't particularly like. He mentions yen and euros and dollars, because those are good guys.
Excellent point. He goes on. There's
ladies and gentlemen, it could very well come to a point where if you bought rubles in a quantity that he decided was enough to be playing the market and picking Russia to win, that you are now a bad American and you are doing an illegal security exchange or something.
That's a really good point as well. And, you know, I don't know. Buying some rubles may not be the worst thing someone could do with their money right now. He goes on, however, there's parallels here to the FTX fraud manipulation that we saw against Sam Bankman-Fried, or Fried. I still don't know which one it's supposed to be.
Except Bankman ended up with criminal charges and is facing years in prison, whereas the other companies are just facing civil lawsuits.
He's also assuming his guilt. And that, to me, seems a bit screwed up. You're a government employee. I know, but he's a government employee. He's supposed to assume people are innocent until they're proven guilty.
That's not what the prosecution does.
I get it. In the stupid little system they play, the prosecutors have to play devil's advocate. That's just the role they have to play. It's evil, and I think they should probably have the sense of morality to not play it.
For sure.
But I'm willing to acquiesce that, right? Like, that's the role that they chose to play, whether they want to or not. Someone's got to be that bad guy.
I can't remember, but it seems like it was Barack Obama who said basically that Dread Pirate Roberts, was guilty.
This is the founder of the Silk Road, the underground drug marketplace.
And Ian, you probably need to help me out on this one because I just don't remember exactly, but it seems like this was the case. It certainly was Barack Obama, and he certainly came out and said that somebody was guilty in some trial that was going on. And I was just shocked that, the president would be so, breathtakingly, short-sighted as to say, well, this person's guilty before the trial is ended, when it sounds very much like the chief executive making this declaration is essentially ordering his minions in the government to find somebody guilty.
Well, I mean, his minions are the Justice Department, and they're the ones bringing the case. I mean, it's not a surprise at all that their boss would say
they're
doing the right
thing. Right, but
they
set up all of this mythology that they have to. There's a lot of pretense in the American system where the president pretends to care about justice, all this other stuff.
All you have to do is just pay attention to know that that's all pretense and it means nothing.
But to the average person,
maybe it was Snowden, maybe it was somebody else, but it was certainly Barack Obama.
The average person is supposed to be shocked when the president says, a government is just an organization with a monopoly on the use of force in a given area.
No doubt, but the average person never heard him say it.
Libertarians are like, well, wow, yeah, he's right. Mm-hmm. That's what we've been telling you. But the average person is like, that's not what the how could the president say that?
He didn't mean that.
Right. Just like the average person is supposed to say, the president, Barack Obama was supposed to say, well, he's innocent until proven guilty in the court of law.
I'd be curious to see what the average person response to that was. I mean, if you did a man on the street and you played that clip, I suspect a lot of people would be like, huh?
Yeah, they wouldn't understand it,
What does that mean? Monopoly on force. Hey, is that a McDonald's over there?
Yeah.
And they walk away.
And that's sad.
You're not going to get much out of the average person on this.
He goes on,
I did it in a group of Quakers, and they tried to explain it away 100 different ways, and I'm like, okay, I see. You want to listen to the 2-minute version with context. No problem.
Right.
So I pulled that baby up, and then they're like, and then it obviously meant that the thing that separates nation states from other organizational models is the monopoly on violence, right? Like, this is, by definition, there are groups, and then there's one particular type of group, a nation state, which has a monopoly on violence.
That's right.
And within a geographic area. And trying to explain that away doesn't make your vote legitimate or good or just or anything like that. And, in the case of Quakers, they eschew force and violence, so they didn't know what to do with it. And they just had to sort of justify their own actions.
Yeah, that's the place a lot of people end up in, cognitive dissonance, where they know that they've committed some act of aggression or whatever, right, by voting for Barack Obama or whatever, and that's a difficult one to face, and they're not prepared for it, so they just choose not to think about it.
That's cognitive dissonance for you, for sure. Now, these people in your Quaker meeting are not average people. These are people who are usually politically opinionated, right? Like, these are, in many cases, leftists. Am I correct about that?
Quakers often are leftists. This wasn't my meeting in Keene.
Mm-hmm.
So Gensler goes on, you see platform after platform where the entrepreneurs behind the platforms also are trying to build wealth for themselves and their investors.
Oh, you can't do that without our permission.
Yeah, and that's that. I mean, that's the point of these governments. Trading against the customers, or even as it relates to dealing against their customers, what he's accusing them of is using customer funds to invest and buy cryptos or whatever. I don't know exactly what he's being slimy, but he's saying they're misusing customer funds. And like, no, when I don't do this anymore, but when I gave money to Coinbase or whatever to buy cryptocurrency, I knew that when they had that cryptocurrency in their wallets, they were going to use it for their benefit. That's just how the game is played. That's what they do. That's why they exist. Gensler noted that the crypto industry needed to improve its compliance and disclosure if it's going to have any success going forward. But he doesn't want it to go forward.
No, he doesn't.
And he makes that clear by saying, well, we don't need all these competitors to the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, it's really a revealing statement. I mean, like you said, he's saying the quiet part out loud. This is what they actually believe. That's why they're doing what they're doing, because they want to stop the alternatives. They want to stop you from being able to access these things.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. And, you know, once they do that, the decentralized exchanges won't do you any good. If you don't have a way to turn the currency of the realm into something better, then you have to be able to get into the cryptocurrency world to play in the cryptocurrency world. And they're trying to control all of the gateways into the cryptocurrency world.
They can't ever stop people from paying others in cryptocurrency. So there will always be ways to acquire it, but they're going to make it harder. They want to make it harder for the average person to get in. And I think they've already accomplished that.
Everything they've done, from going after local Bitcoins to going after the Crypto 6 to going after the Binance and Coinbase, all of that has a singular goal in mind of controlling the gateways to cryptocurrency.
And
making it so
people.
That you can't get it easily.
And they want to scare people, too. It's like, well, do you really want to get something if the government's going to target you for it?
Yeah, true.
I mean, we know they're not targeting the average user.
But they don't
what
know
is,
that.
But what does the person think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, how scared are people going to be when they see all these people getting arrested and all this negativity? Out of time for tonight. I hope that within the next couple of days we'll get to talk about this UFO thing, because it looks pretty interesting.
It's compelling.
Yeah. Apparently there's a whistleblower, Air Force veteran, former intelligence officer, claiming the U.S. government has been collecting intact extraterrestrial craft for decades as part of a UFO retrieval program. So maybe tomorrow night or the next night, definitely an interesting story. But out of time tonight, we'll see you online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.